Hello and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Barbon. One of those annoying shows that I hate to do. It feels like therapy when we do it because we do talk about it and we get stuff off our chest. But flipping hell, I'm pissed off and I'm still pissed off. And I just, it's really, really frustrating at the moment. And so, yeah, it's going to be one of those interesting shows that we hopefully try and dissect it and try and, you know, explain what's going on and try our best to sort of like, you know, alleviate the pain that you might be feeling at home if you're also still angry like us, and we'll hopefully try and explain it and hopefully by the end of it come up with some positivity for the rest of the week. Fingers crossed that's the case. And alongside me I've got Mr. John Jones. Hi John, how are we doing?
Yeah, very good sir, how are you?
Oh, you're happy, aren't you? He's happy, he looks happy. That's funny face. And Mr. Lee Curtin, smile every time, look at his face. Okay, brilliant stuff. So where do we begin? Where do we actually begin, guys? Let's. Should we start with the lineup, the selection, the lineup, the selection that everyone saw and they looked at that back line and thought, "Raw boy, that is a little bit flimsy." Not really very experienced. Obviously, Davies was there on the left, but he was left wing back. So the main sort of central fulcrum was Dyer, Tanganga, and Sanchez, and then obviously Aurier on the right. When you first saw that, Lee, did that scream like, you know, warning signs to you? Were you like, oh my God, and Gazzaniga in goal? I mean, it's, you know, maybe not as experienced, but Dyer is experienced, but I thought it worried me, to be fair.
I think it worried everybody that looked at it. And even when you kind of scroll through all the social media groups, as people get, you know, I think Dean in our Facebook group, it's like somebody told me, somebody forget to tell me this is a cup game. I said, you know, so it was just one of those where you looked at it and I think we also mentioned within a group, why? There's so many whys. Why him? Why this? Why that? And I mean, nothing you could do about Lloris. If he's injured, he's injured and you want to play safe and protect him and that's what he's gone for. And I don't have that same nervous feeling anymore that I used to with a backup goalkeeper. So I had no problem with Gazza in there. As you know, the bigger picture for me, as far as Gazza's gone, is that I don't think he's taken his chance because a year and a half ago, I was kind of banging a drum for him to probably go on and be our number one. And I don't think he's taken that opportunity.
No.
And then with the back three, I happen to think it's probably Eric Dyer's best position.
Well, he has said in interviews, didn't he, after the game, that that's what he wants to play. That's what he's preferred to play. And he mentioned that Poch played him there in his last couple of games. So that seems to probably what he's telling Jose, or Jose's telling him. So, I mean, I can see why, because obviously they did want a three. But and Toby and Jan have been out of form, I would say. Jan more so. He definitely looks like he's lost a yard of pace. Toby's not been the same. I think both of them have not looked great. But what they do bring is surely a level head and a bit more experience than having those three together. And I think even if they're out of form, one of those would have been better. Because Davies, even though he is a more experienced, was quite far wide on the left. So there wasn't anyone centrally to really sort of look organise them.
I think ultimately, Jose's got to look at it now, and probably for me, we've got to scrap the three at the back. It's not working. I feel he's doing it to accommodate players.
But is he also doing it because he's going like for like he did against Chelsea? Because obviously they play wing back, so that's what he did in the Chelsea game, and then he changed it, and then he did it with Wolves, and then they also play wing back.
What have we got out of them? We've got our.
Oh no, I'm just saying that is that more? He's just mirroring their tactics, as opposed to trying to infiltrate his tactics. Is he just basically saying, oh, they're playing a back three, they're gonna, you know, have problems down our wings, so we need to try and sort of counteract that by playing angry wing backs ourselves?
I'm not saying it's right.
I'm just saying that might be a reason.
He did mention that was the reason behind playing it against Chelsea, and the personnel, they're not good enough. So sometimes you've just got to play to your strengths, and a back three isn't our strength at the moment. A back four has to be our strength because we're not overloaded, but when you look at our squad, you go, midfielder, 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 fit player, fit player, fit player, fit player. Got a bit about him. It's all our midfield. It's not our defenders, and it's certainly not any of our forwards. So our strength in terms of depth at the moment is our midfield. So put a back four out and pack your midfield, put your five across the middle and build from there. Because the back three ain't working. We're getting our asses slapped every time, even when we're matching up. You know, and I said last week when we played Chelsea, I played Mason Mount, like flipping 10 stone wet, went around and battered everybody. So it doesn't, it doesn't really matter. Ben Davies runs with a parachute, and when he ain't wearing it, Jan's wearing it. And when Jan ain't wearing it, Toby's wearing it. So, you know,
they're passing it around the dressing room.
Part of the kit. I think it's a Nike design. But, you know, we haven't got the players. So you need to look at where we have got the strength, and we have got people who can cover the ground, and it is in midfield, and we need to defend in the midfield. We need to defend the defenders a little bit better than what we're doing.
That seems to have been the case. And we did mention last week about Winks sort of being in that role, but not being as defensive as previous years when we've had the Dembélés and we've had the Wanyamas being a real protective force. Obviously, the problem is with the back four is that then we do risk playing Serge Aurier right back and with a tendency to sort of stay up in the right wing position. So, John, is that a worry for you if we do play a back four? And what were your thoughts on Tanganga's performance as well?
Yeah, just going back to what you were saying about the three at the back, I think obviously we're limited a little bit by our injuries and by people being, you know, people out of form. So I think Jose's sort of looking at it and he's thinking, okay, we're going to go like for like. Wolves are renowned for counter-attacking football. So he's looking at his players and he's matching them up player for player and saying, you know what? Do your job. If you do your job, we keep the ball. If you mark your man and you don't let him get beyond you, they're not going to hit us on the break. I think that's why he went like that. But like Lee said, you know, with a bit of a lack of experience in the middle and, you know, Dyer not being massively mobile, we just got pulled all over the place again.
But they did look dangerous on the break. Every time they broke, they looked dangerous.
It didn't at all. When the thing is as well, when we're playing a four, we still like we're getting pulled all over the place. I'm actually baffled by it. I wasn't surprised at all that Toby and Jan were both dropped because they've been poor. The pair of them, they've been poor. And I wasn't surprised when the lineup came out. I believe that probably moving forward, that position is the best position for Dyer. Just purely because he's not getting the ball in a half turn and giving it away. You know, at least he's got the pitch in front of him. And I just think Jose was probably just looking at different formations, different personnel, just to see, well, what can I get out of this? Maybe he was looking at the Norwich game on Wednesday because, you know, FA Cup is everything to us now. Maybe he was looking at that, you know, trying to save some legs. It's baffling, if I'm honest.
And Tanganga's performance, obviously we've been sort of like, you know, bigging him up the past few weeks and wanting him to get more game time, but he was good in that he's getting stuck in. He was winning the ball back a lot. He won back a lot of possession. He was getting stuck in, but I think he still has that sort of youthful tendency of just getting a bit too tight to his man and then getting turned quite easily and just going in. And that obviously happened for the third goal, I think it was. So I think that just comes with experience. I think, you know what I mean? He will learn to back off a little bit. But I still thought he played well. Obviously, the mistake for the first goal as well, because he mishit it. I haven't seen any of the highlights yet. I didn't want to. I was too angry yesterday. I just got drunk. But I haven't seen whether it was Dyer who could have maybe kicked it but missed it, and as opposed to Tanganga sort of miskicking it and then obviously leaving it in the path of the guy that scored. So I don't know. What did the highlights say? What were your sort of like your main frustrations with the goals, Lee? You always like to pick apart the goals. You didn't send me any, like, you know, freeze frame footage today or yesterday. So what happened? Was it just a complete shit show?
It was a little bit of a shit show. And the first, I think we've said on the show before, especially with our own homegrown players, if they make a mistake, we're prepared to kind of forgive them a little bit more than we tend to do with somebody we've shelled out 60, 70 million for. And for Tanganga, his body shape was all wrong, and I think that's partly his inexperience, but also probably the lack of experience around him, because you got Happy Feet Sanchez on one side, and you got not so mobile feet Dyer on the other side, and you got Gazza, who's probably gone self-preservation because, you know, he's back in the team. And the communication wasn't great. And that's one of the things that Gazza misses. So I think if Hugo's there, the communication's better. And that goal probably doesn't happen. It probably doesn't happen. The third one, we'll go back to our formation. We'll go back to my friend, you know, because everyone's going on about Serge and what a great goal he scored. And by the way, it was a great goal and a hell of a finish. But Serge will soon kick somebody 10 foot up in the air in our own box, but couldn't take the geezer out in his own half. You know, Jota ran from Serge's big toe in nearly his own third of the pitch, and he runs down and he evades a tickle from Serge, and then he runs past Sanchez because he's unbalanced him, and he puts a ball in between Tanganga and Dyer, and they was never going to recover that. And he checks inside and puts it top bins. It's a great finish by the lad. But, yeah, you know, it could have been stopped. Normally.
Yeah, we do stop, but we said that before. There was, like, you know, obviously there was the goal that we conceded, the Southampton goal, when Redmond ran half the pitch. You know, it was similar. And I know that Dele Alli didn't want to foul him in that situation because he might have been suspended. But there were still more opportunities, and maybe we're just not cynical enough. Maybe we're not willing to take that challenge.
This is what I'm talking about. We're not. And when it comes to certain players, and I've used his name a million times, he's just not clever enough. He's just not intelligent enough as a footballer, because he'll kick you up in the air in the 18-yard box, but he wouldn't kick the geezer up in the air in his own half. And you can see the break on. You can see the break on. You know, it blew my mind. It blew. Yeah.
Jose touched on it, didn't he? He touched on it in the post-match interview.
Oh, did he?
He said, yeah, he did, yeah. He said, you know, the team, they've got to learn to be a bit nastier, you know. He said, you know, Dendonka had no problem doing it, pulling the man back, you know, 5 minutes to go. And he said, yeah, it's game management. Like, we've got to learn, you know, and we're going to have to learn to be a bit nastier.
Definitely, 100%. That does seem to be the case. So any highlights for you, you know, any shining lights? And then we'll come on to the Parrott debacle. But anyone that you thought played particularly well, is it any positivity we can take for the game, or are we just going to all sit here and cry?
I wish the listeners could see us, because we're all sitting here rubbing our heads.
I thought Winks did okay. I thought he was industrious. As Lee's mentioned before, you know, I think he gets pulled out of position a lot because he's trying to cover both fullbacks.
Yeah, it was difficult there. The frustration for me was he was poor with his distribution in terms of the crossing, and he's not there for that. But what I found the most frustrating was the centre-backs had far too much of the ball. There was not enough creativity coming from our midfield. Like, Lo Celso and Wink should have been taking it off them much more often. They were trying to basically they were just giving them too much space, and all they were doing was just sideway passing until either Davies or Aurier was free. And then they were just putting in shit balls that were hitting the first man. It was just so, or they were doing little, or Winks or one of the defenders like Sanchez were doing a little chip pass into Mora, like trying to get over the defence. And it was like the defenders were just like heading it out the air. It was just so predictable. And then when I went to the pub and then we were watching the City game, it was like chalk and cheese, because the movement and the pace of their passing was completely different. It was, and it obviously was watching a different team. And they're a better team than us. But that has to be something that they are instilling in coaching, because it was so obvious. We were just too slow in the passing. You're not going to break down defences if all you're doing is one-touch passing, passing backwards, side to side, and waiting for the side people to free. You've got to be incisive. You've got to move. You've got to, like, and I don't know if it was because we didn't have a focal point of a striker. I think it could have definitely helped us if we did, because there was no one really up there making those runs. And that's why the whole Parrott situation, bringing him on with 4 minutes to go, just completely baffled me. It was an embarrassment to the player, I think, and it was just an absolute piss take. And he scored this evening for the under-23s. We've got Matt from the show who's down there watching it, and he's saying that he looks a class above. So for me, I just find it a real disappointment that he's not willing to just put him in there and try him out. I understand he's not as experienced as other players of his age group. He's talking about Greenwood and the like that. But you look at Jadon Sancho. He's like 20, 19, and he's been playing unbelievably well. And just because he's been thrown in there, you have to take risks sometimes. If he has a shit game, he has a shit game. Like, if he misses chances, he'll grow from it. He'll learn from it. But for me, he looks like he's ready. And I don't know what's happening in training. Like, Alistair Gold was mentioning on his Football London thing that if he was really banging him in training, then the coaches would be knocking on Jose's door to say, you know, you've got to put him in. So I don't know what the difference is. I mean, for me, he looks like he will definitely do something. And he's a striker. He knows where the goal is. So that's surely going to help our positional play when we know that there's someone up there who's willing to receive the ball, who's going to take the defenders. He's going to occupy the defenders. So then it will maybe create space for more people. I find it really baffling. And then if he's not ready, why put him on for 4 minutes then? He was saying, oh, because he was only on the bench because Lamela was injured. Well, if he's on the bench, then he's ready. Like, yeah. It is
bizarre, and it's bizarre that even in the bit of the interview I did see after the game, that he says, I put him on to kind of occupy Connor Cody because that's what he can do. And the funny thing is, we spoke, I think, last week on the show, and it's something I've spoken to people loads of times when people ask me about it. I know he's just turned 18. And we're fully aware of this. It's well publicised, and Jose keeps kind of tapping into that, and that's great, and, you know, all very well. However, for 11 years, he's probably been playing as a centre-forward. So he makes centre-forward runs. He knows how to hold off a centre-back. He knows how to make a one-yard run in one direction, spin out and go the other way. He knows how to attack a near post. He knows how to make a dummy run, peel off and go to the back post. He knows how to have one touch, two touch, and bring the midfield into play. He's done that for 11 years. I don't care if he's done it at 6, 7. He's doing it at 16, 17, 18, enough for us to go and buy him, or, you know, go and get him from the Irish club. And you know, the rest is what he's doing in the under-21s, under-23s. He's doing that. He's doing that because he knows how to play the centre-forward position. No number 10, whether it's Ali, whether it's Moura, whether it's Lo Celso, whether it's Lamela, they don't make those little runs. They don't make those little runs at the near post. They don't make those little dummy runs and check back in. They don't hold off a defender and lay the ball off to somebody else. It's natural to them to carry the ball forward, try and beat somebody. It's natural to them to whip across it. It's natural to them to strike a ball from 20, 25 yards facing the goal. It's unnatural for Dele to be trying to hold the ball up and turn a player on the 18-yard box and bury the ball in the bottom corner. That's not natural to him. So even though he alluded to what he sent him on for to do with Connor Cody, he knows that none of the number 10s are doing it. So I don't get why, when we go 3-2 down and we need to chase that game, he didn't put him on there and then.
Exactly.
That should have been his... I don't want to hear about his attitude. If his attitude's so bad, he wouldn't have been on the bench. He wouldn't have been number 19 that day. So, you know, and say what you want about the other clubs. Jared Bowen's only 20, 21. You know, the lad who's come from Hull to West Ham. He's been banging in goals in the Championship, and he's showed that he can probably nick a couple in the Premier League. Neil Mupai from Brighton. The other young Irish lad, Connolly, at Brighton. You're talking about 2 years in between them, and then I don't want to get involved in the whole Greenwood situation and Rashford. And people seem to forget where Harry Kane come from. Harry Kane kind of came through by accident because he was done with Soldado and Adebayor. And Sherwood looks around and goes, well, it's him. It's the kid in the youth team. It's the kid in the reserves. You know, you sometimes have to do it. And we're not saying, hey, go and start him. We're not saying that. We're saying 20 minutes, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes again, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, and build it up. We're not saying just chuck him in. But you know what? It could be a different story. You don't know what you're about to unleash. It could be another whole Harry Kane story waiting to happen. You know, it's frustrating to watch it, and it's even more frustrating to hear him defend why he's not picking him, but then puts him on for 4 minutes.
Exactly. That was the thing for me. That was the thing for me. That was just like, if he's going to say he's not ready, then one, don't have him on the bench, but then two, definitely don't bring him on. And then three, if you're going to bring him on, why the hell are you going to bring him on 4 minutes? If the reason was to do the Connor Cody thing, like you said, then that's an important thing that should have been done 20 minutes ago. Like, I just, yeah. it just, Wow. They're just really, really, and you could see the cheers when he came on, and that would have also given the crowd a lift. That would have, if we'd have brought him on for 20 minutes to go, we would have actually been a bit more optimistic, and we maybe would have, you know, something would have it was just so obvious to me. And he made a few changes. He brought on Ndombele, who again looked a bit, he looked good, but he also looked unfit, which is just frustrating. But what he did do, and what he's very good at, he's got a quick turn and he passed it forward. That was just a big difference. He was actually looking for through balls, which we weren't doing, and they didn't come off, but it was much more attacking intent from a midfielder, which was great. Lo Celso just seemed to be afraid to shoot. It was all very tippy-tappy around the 18-yard box when he was just like, put your flipping laces through it, which is frustrating because he's, you know, he was getting in his position. And then he brought Fernandez on to play sort of right wing back, and he did okay. So fair enough, those were good substitutions, but the main one, I thought he didn't get right. So
yeah, I mean, I'd sort of stuck up from before. The only thing I can put it down to is that they're trying to protect their asset. That, you know, maybe there's a mentality thing there, and I was surprised that he only got 4 minutes because, like you said yourself, anything can happen. Anything can happen. If he's making those moves, which Jose obviously believes that he can do, then, you know, he opens up a bit of space for someone, or he gets on the end of something, then all of a sudden there's your result, which is the most important thing. I just think that maybe he's thinking, well, you know, I'm going to chuck this kid in. He might miss an open goal, or something might happen, and he just hasn't got it in his head to deal with the situation. And then you've got years of that work of getting this boy, you know, right mentally undone.
Surely that's just experience, and he's going to miss shots, and you grow from that. That's surely what comes with basically putting a footballer on the pitch. You know, that's what happens. And when you're a striker, that's going to happen. And I'm sure he's missed chances in all the years that he's played, and it's just a different chance. But I'm sure he's, you know, professional enough, and I'm sure he's well trained enough to know that there will be more chances, and that he's good enough to score. And I'm sure he's got faith in his ability because he's a confident lad.
You'd have to think so, most definitely. But I believe that Poch was of the same mentality with him as well, which just makes me think that I mean we're not privy to knowing exactly, you know, what the exact reason is that they're not putting him in for. But it must be a good reason. It must be. I mean, it's just a difficult one. I was surprised that he didn't give him more than 4 minutes at the end of the game to try and make something happen, because, you know, like we said, anything can happen in football. And all of a sudden, you know, you get that spark and something does happen. All of a sudden, you might well have a Harry Kane story all over again, or you might have a Rashford story all over again. Maybe the reason is because they just don't think he's ready for that. You know, it's much of a muchness, isn't it?
It is. Well, fingers crossed he might get some game time on Wednesday, so we never know. So we've got two games to preview this week. We've got the Norwich game on Wednesday in the FA Cup, and then we've got Burnley away on Saturday. So the Norwich game, I mean, as John, you sort of alluded to before, it's turned into a quite important game now. The fact that, you know, we're not sure what the hell was happening in the league. We're looking like we're slipping down the league. So we don't even know what is going to happen in terms of Champions League, or even the dreaded word Europa League, which is not something that any of us want to deal with after our mocking of the Scum on a Thursday night. We can't do it. I just wouldn't be able to handle it. So the FA Cup obviously is a trophy. Everyone goes on about trophies. Everyone went on about trophies for Poch in his reign, the fact that he never got one. So, you know, Mourinho is a serial trophy winner. So, you know, this could be an opportunity for us to maybe have a bit of a success this season. Are you confident that's going to happen? And what sort of team do you think he's going to put out?
I think he'll go full guns blazing. And I think we have to take the game to him. We have to attack. I was listening to a caller on the radio that called into Talk Sport earlier, and he said, oh, you know, we're so negative. You know, we're not a defending team, we're an attacking team. to be honest, I think I don't see us as sitting back and defending. It's not really what I've seen with Mourinho so far. I haven't seen us sitting back. I think we've been getting forward and having a go. But the problem for me has just been what the problem has been all season and pretty much through most of the season. Too many touches on the ball. Move the ball quicker. And if we can do that, if we can move the ball quicker, that's when we're at our best. And we have got the quality, especially going forward, to do damage. But we have to get our shots off quicker. You know, and I think if we can do that against Norwich, I think we'll win. I think we'll win convincingly. But they're going to have to stop, whether it's a lack of confidence or... I mean, it doesn't seem to me like Jose's instructing them to go backwards and sideways and,
it's not.
Seems, but I also it think... seems to be wanting to move the ball forward, you know?
Yeah, but I just think technically as well, I just think we don't have the players necessarily to do that. Like, if you look at the play, whenever Ali gets the ball, the brakes slow down. He always just puts his foot on the ball and he just like... The only time he's good is if he's on the break and he doesn't have time to think about it. But when he's out on the right or left, he just always seems to slow it down. And then he passes it back inside. And it's just like, that's just not attacking. It's just really, really frustrating. Moura just seems to, like, his first touch is always a little bit ropey. So his second touch, he always has to try and control the first touch and then get back with it. So it's like the ball just seems to bounce off him, which is frustrating. I thought he had an okay game on Sunday. He was like, you know, he was doing his sort of like little Jack Russell Terrier job, as in getting stuck in. But it wasn't really much apart from a sort of a long one in the beginning in the game where he got pulled back, where I thought he really did enough with the ball, which was frustrating. So I don't really think out of those two, those are the players to really play one touch. I think Lo Celso could do it. I think Bergwijn could do it. He looks like he's got a good touch. But I don't know if the rest of them are really up for that. But again, it comes down to coaching. It's like they have to come out with that impetus of working that way, like the City guys were. It comes from the coach and, you know, That's something wrong, and the fact that the centre backs have got more possession than anyone else in the team again is wrong. That shouldn't be happening. And if that was happening, and then he didn't spot it, he didn't make the change beforehand, or we didn't like send a message on to like, you know, Taylor Chelsea to come back deeper to get hold of the ball. Like, you know, there's got to be some communication there. It just doesn't seem to be happening, Lee.
No, but I mean, as John says, our build up play is too slow. And because of that, we're suffering. We can't even switch to play. And we're not asking for one touch. We're asking for no more than three touches. You know, we're asking for no more than three touches, but three quick touches. Try and move it from right over to left and then left back to right if need be. But we don't. We're so slow with it. We let teams get back and put two lines in front of us. We let players get back and we end up putting our foot on the ball and passing back to Toby, who will then ping it over to the corner flag, or we'll give it back to Sanchez, whose backside goes every time he's got the ball at his feet, and he'll go sideways and he'll go backwards. So it is self-inflicted. I don't get it, because at that level, I don't really care who you are. Two touches, three touches, that's all you need. And it should be out your feet, switch it, out your feet, switch it again, and there's your two wide men working the wings. Get down the wing and put the ball in. But we don't do it, and we're so, so slow. And you touched on Moura there, and I think we had a little bit of a debate in the group, and I said I probably would have dropped Moura, and people kind of defend him, go, yeah, but he works really hard, and it's one of those again, isn't it? He's not in there to work hard. I look at somebody, you say, yeah, but he does this, and I'm going to say, right, is that what he's there for? You know, is he there to work hard? He's not there to work hard. He's not there to run around and make little tackles and break play up and tackle back. Moura's there to get past players, whip crosses in and smash shots. That's what Moura's there for. And at the moment, he's turned into like a bit of a Harry Winks further up the pitch. You know, you're right. His first touch is horrific. You know, his first touch, his second touch is usually a tackle because he's chasing his first touch.
Yeah, yeah.
When I said previously I'd go to a four at the back and I would stick Moura out on the chalk. Go and get chalk on your boots, mate, because you get time to have a good first touch of the ball because teams won't want to come out to you. And then he gets a chance to stand the defender up, unbalance him, get past him, whip across it. Or dare I say it, you know, I don't want to start all the listeners, play a 1-2 with someone. you know, give it to them and run past somebody without the ball and give it back to them. I mean, I coach kids and I teach them that, you know, somebody with a ball will always be chased. And you do defenders and other players who are not that sharp or not that awake, they'll watch you run past them without a ball. You know, so do the work without the ball sometimes. I just think, you know, we're very slow in our build-up and we need to be quicker. And we need to be quicker even just to help our defence because we're exposing them so much because we're getting caught on the ball or we're getting asked to turn around and go back and we're getting forced back on top of the defence and the goalkeeper. So we need to speed our play up and we need to look at switching it. We've got the ability. The one strength we have got at the moment is probably two wide men, whether it's Bergwijn on one side and Lucas on the other side, whether it's Lucas on one side and maybe Serge on the other side, dare I say it. You know, they're meant to be there for pace. They get down the wings, put the other team in their final third and let's put some crosses in and create something. So we need to do better. We need to do much better further up the pitch as well. We need to be quicker.
We do. We seem to be playing still like with a target man, with no target man. You know, literally, like, I mean, we've got one man up top, whether it be Dele Alli or whether it be Bergwijn or even Son, you know, when he was playing up there. But you're drilling balls into him from up high and asking them to play with their back to goal and knock off it. And then there's no one in the box. I'd be tempted to play with go 4-4-2, play two up top, like you said, Lee, get wide, get crosses in, get get someone arrive, you know, your midfielder arriving late in the box. But just help your striker up there. Whoever your makeshift striker is.
Yeah, but that's the problem, though. It's two up top, but it's two up top that aren't strikers. So that's the frustration in terms of are they going to be able to do the things that Lee was mentioning before that Parrott could do in terms of, like, you know, make those runs and, you know, occupy defenders and turn them because it's not their position. They'll probably just come deep because they want the ball. They're used to having the ball there. It will be very difficult for them to make those runs up front.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's probably why we go, you know, that's probably why I think when I look at it, I'll go five across, you know, and we go to Norwich. And as John alludes to, it's become massive. It actually has become massive. And, you know, we need to, and I think Jose's one of these managers as well. He walked out of United and, you know, he will point to the trophies he won. None of them were a Premier League trophy, but he will point to the trophies he won because that's what he does. He wins trophies. So, look, where do I see this season going? Do I see us finishing fourth? Probably not. Do I see us finishing fifth? Yeah, possibly. I will take finishing fifth, given our current predicament, if I can have an FA Cup on the shelf. I'll be that kind of cheap about it. I don't care. We're just in that place at the moment. And it does give you something to build on. It does give you something to build on. It does show that we can win a trophy. It does show that we've got a decent stadium. And it does show that, you know, we can go out, have a little shuffle of players and bring some fresh blood in and hopefully some new ideas, if that be it. So we go to Norwich and I would like to see set up as a 4-5-1. And I'd like to see Parrott get half a game. You know, I think Matty said tonight that he's been taken off at halftime.
That's good to know.
That's a massive 49 minutes he's had in 3 days. So I don't want to get into that. But I'd like to think that's with a view to Wednesday's game.
Yeah, I did think that actually when we were just talking earlier, the fact that he was playing tonight, I did worry that that was going to mean that he might be ruled out for Wednesday. But yeah, that's good to know that he was taken off. So fingers crossed. So what are we thinking about score lines then, chaps?
Go on, John. Let you go.
I'm gonna be positive. I think we'll beat Norwich. I think we should beat Norwich. And I think these players are going to have to motivate themselves to make something happen from this season. Otherwise, it's just going to die on its arse. And I think the crowd, they're going to get behind. If we were to go out against Norwich at home, I think you'd start seeing serious signs from the crowd.
I don't want to even think about that.
I think you would. So I think they're going to have to come up with some sort of plan to get a result. Which, to be honest, Jose does seem to do that. You know, I mean, our league form, believe it or not, hasn't been that bad, and we've been getting over the line.
We've just been conceding goals for fun. I think that's
But we have been conceding goals for fun. And So they're going to have to, yeah, I'm sitting here scratching my head.
What are we going for predictions then, John? That was a very cagey politician's answer.
I'm going to go, we will concede, I think. But I'm still think we're better than them going forward. I think 2-1 or 3-1. 3-1. I'm going 3-1. Come on, you Spurs.
All right. Good to hear. Kurtz?
Yeah, no, that's me. I'm going with the 3-1 because that's what we do.
Parrot to get the final one.
Parrot to nick a goal and send everybody into like absolute raptures. And
all right, I'm gonna follow you in that one. I'm gonna say 3-1 as well. Oh God, how did we get to this positive, like, you know, viewpoint after just the last half an hour, and we suddenly think we're gonna win 3-1? Mystified, stupid fans that we are.
Because we've all had every weekend.
Yeah. In about 30 seconds, we're going to talk about the Burnley game. And the Norwich result will give us the absolute think we're back again. Oh, we'll be buzzing. Oh, we're back.
Exactly.
We're scoring goals. We're not conceding, Manny. And then we're going to discuss Burnley. So,
oh, I can't wait. Right. Brilliant. Bring it on. Okay, so one more preview to discuss, which is the Burnley game. It's sort of a hit and miss team at the moment, it seems. They're like, they're playing well one week and then the next week they're not. Defensively, they look quite decent. They're not conceding that many goals. Up front, they can be a bit of a handful. So it should be quite an interesting game. It'll be an interesting game to see the kind of formation, I think, that Jose plays against them, and the selection, I think, because that seems to be obviously contentious issues at the moment. And the fact that they do have quite a sort of a strong forward line, maybe they will go to three at the back again. Maybe he will think that that's a good way to quell them as opposed to having the front two. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. What are you expecting game-wise from this, then, Lee? Are you expecting a bit of a battle? Are you expecting us to get over the line? How are you thinking it's going to be?
You know you're getting a battle against Burnley. You know you're getting a battle against them. You know Chris Wood and Co are just going to be around you. They're just going to be banging into those boys at the
set
back.
Set pieces looked so terrible. That's got to be a worry, surely. They're great on set pieces.
It's a massive worry when you look at it and go, the stat I heard today was 74% of our goals conceded have been set pieces or individual error. So That's us. That means out of all the goals conceded, 26% have been kind of a little bit of magic or what somebody considers decent football. When you talk about Burnley, you think automatically set pieces. You think kind of falls into the box, which is our weaknesses, and you know it's going to be a battle. And I think it was over their place last year where our season kind of went tits up as well. So we don't tend to do particularly well over there. So I don't know how we're set up, because it's one of those, I'm calling for a 4, but you do look at it and go, maybe that game suits a 3. Mm. So then you've got to start looking at your personnel. And I think what we didn't really speak about, especially with the Norwich game, is I probably look at our back 3 from the weekend and probably Toby needs to go back in there, even just for a little bit of experience, if we haven't got Hugo back. We just need an older head in there or somebody who's going to talk and organise. I think you will see a 3 against Burnley purely because of the way they play. And I think you'll see Tanganga, Sanchez and probably Toby back in there. Or he'll start with Dyer again if he backs Dyer. We know Jose now. We know he's not scared to make a substitution defender for a defender. Which for me is always just a waste, especially if you're kind of chasing a game or trying to stay in a game. So I wouldn't put that past him. But I imagine we'll go with a 3 there. So prepare for a battle. You're not going to ask me for a prediction, are you?
I thought that's what happened. No, we've been doing the show for quite a while now.
Let's go for a 2-1 away win.
Oh, you guys have been on some serious nice things.
It can't continue. It can't all be doom and gloom, can it? I think,
yes,
you know.
Yes, it can. And it will do. And it will get worse. I'm telling you that now.
Can't do. I'm going for a good end of the week. Started off badly. and it'll finish okay.
Flipping hell. I like your optimism, but I find it's a little bit misguided. But hey, if that's the way it works, and if that's 3 points the weekend, then I'll be very, very happy. John, what are your thoughts?
I wouldn't be surprised if you see definitely Toby back in, possibly Jan as well. I don't think they're not going to break quickly, Burnley, are they? They're not. You know, they're going to be a battering ram. They're going to try and get the ball wide, get crosses in, or they're going, you know, from set plays, they're going to be the dangerous area. So I think you're going to, well, he should, if I was him, just set himself up for the battle. And that would be in the three, you could possibly go Dyer, Vertonghen, Toby. Or at the two, I think you'll see Toby, Dyer, or Vertonghen. I don't think there's a need for Tanganga in there for that game. Unless he's going to stick him at right back, which I would like to see on top of Aurier, because I think he's got the energy and just the work rate to get up and down more than what Aurier will, and he'll provide cover for his centre backs. I would like to say a 2-1 win. I'll be happy with a draw coming away from there, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I think I'll be the same, to be fair. So what are you going for then? What's prediction?
I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with you on that one as well. I've been coming up with my own predictions today. But yeah, I'm just I'm being a complete cop-out. But yeah, I think 1-1. But yeah, amazing. If Lee is a soothsayer, and if it's true, then obviously we'll be very, very happy. We're not wanting it, but we're just trying to be realistic. We're not predicting a defeat, so you know, that's a positive. So yeah. Fingers crossed. Okay, guys. All right, we're going to leave it there, but no tears, which has been good. And hope that we've managed to, you know, try to leave some of the pain that we're still feeling from the weekend. But it is a frustrating situation. And fingers crossed, there is going to be some improvement this week. And it is going to be more fortunate times, more positive vibes. And fingers crossed, we can get to the next round of the FA Cup and get a very, very valuable 3 points on Saturday. So, yeah, fingers crossed that's going to be the case. Thank you very much to John and Lee. Pleasure as always, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We are the Finger Love Most Show, available on all the podcast channels. We do have a YouTube channel as well. And we're available on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, TTILM Show. So check us out, subscribe and the like. Enjoy your week, everybody. And fingers crossed, it's a more successful one than the last one. Enjoy. Yeah.